Call our meeting to order. All right, tons of administration.
Let's start with the first one, Relay for Life.
Okay.
They want to have a lunch and a bake, silent auction bake sale. We've talked to Brenda Neal. She's fine with loaning the jury room for that, where food is allowed only in that room. That's the pro side. The con side is if we do this, we would have to be open to any other organization wanting to use the same facility. So we've done it in the past. I personally don't have a problem with it. It's Relay for Life. It's a great cause. But just would like to... we had an email from Terry Williams asking permission to use it. So
right.
I'd like to go ahead and get that decision.
I'm in favor of it.
I am too.
And if I could adjust your comment, we don't have to let anybody. We would need to listen to anybody.
Right. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, good deal.
You good with that, Danny?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Relay for Life is a yes.
Voluntary.
What? I'll have Nikki send a relay because it was an email from Nikki.
Okay.
Next question is, we had a request from, it was a little old here, but we had a request from Liz Hudson to modify the women's bathroom in the new P&Z building. You all got an email. They wanted to make sure, Dana, you hadn't had a response yet on it. We need to change the toilet. It has to be an ADA, and it has to have some hand grab bars.
Mm-hmm.
It already has the wheelchair access or ramp access, but it's going to cost about $500 to do the modifications, and we probably should have done it the first time, and we just didn't catch it. But
yeah.
Are you in favor of that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll make sure that gets taken care of.
Great.
Next thing is, back in October 22nd, the Park Board made recommendation that Darlene Cole get appointed to a 3-year term.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the notes, we don't see where we appointed Darlene Cole. So
okay.
I would like, it's posted as Park Board. I move that we appoint Darlene Cole to a 3-year term at the Park Board.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It does. We do have that. We do have. I wouldn't say proof, but we did appoint Jerry Sims to a term, and those are all up in the board and up in the board folder of what term, when they're appointed, when they expire.
So does that fill the board?
That fills that position up.
Good deal.
All right. The next thing is very simply put, we have had some open flame issues in the judicial facility. Candles being left overnight, so on and so forth. I would like to have a policy that we have no open flame in either any of the county buildings. So that way we're not liable. But evidently there was a candle that got out of control. I think it spilled up some smoke issues and all that. So are you guys in favor of Bob writing some sort of ordinance, or if we need to put it in the handbook?
No, it just needs to be a handbook policy.
Okay.
And,
but we're just right now. Our position is no open flame in any of the county buildings.
Right.
Is that all right with you?
You guys are in charge of the county buildings, so you can write whatever
rules
you want.
Create a policy, or
what does that do about where we have? Do we still have gas furnaces that?
I would say then maybe consumer open flame.
Yeah. Dad, you're gonna have to do something like that because we've got gas furnaces and things like that.
Sure.
That they.
I'll write it down specifically to.
However you want to cover the verbiage.
Okay.
We'll
all right, so that we're in favor, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we got that.
If the electricity was to go off, I think sometimes it might be possible to be needed. My back office back there last time the electricity went out, we didn't need candles.
Unless permission from the commission. Okay, moving on. There was a gentleman named Shane Steele who called in the office yesterday asking that he have permission to clear up creek gravel. Last year, I guess we didn't allow it. I'm a little gray in this area, so if you guys can give me some...
No, we don't
clean up.
Well, evidently he wants to get some loads of creek gravel out of the creek.
Doesn't have anything to do with us. It's a mining issue with the
would he have
DNR.
To, he would check with DNR then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then I will... You guys would give the DNR. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have him direct it to DNR. Okay. Bob, we talked, Chuck and I had a Meadow Ridge Property Owners Association on Tuesday night.
Tuesday, yep.
And we had a couple action items to do. And one of the action items, I briefly mentioned to you on the phone, but I want to go ahead and do it in front of the commission so Danny would hear.
The Homeowners Association, if you remember, kind of getting everyone caught up, we had 33 lots identified that were potential water issues if we would take in a bunch of those streets out there, Horizon Hills. What we left them, sent a letter out there saying, give us a hold harmless agreement that we provided, and then that would open the possibility for us taking the road in. Didn't guarantee it, but basically we kind of said we would do it. They have not, Bob, got any signed, and they asked us, is it possible for the county to create an ordinance saying that all property owners are basically being put in a hold harmless agreement mandatorily?
No. I mean, I don't even have to look that one up. You can't do that. I mean, basically you say, we're going to pass an ordinance that says we can put in the streets any way we want, and if it damages somebody's property when we do that, we don't have any liability in tort to anybody whose property we damage. You can't do that. That's basically saying, well, we're above the law.
Gotcha.
What I expected you to say, but they were looking for something.
And I promised I would present it.
And he did.
All right. The other question was condemnation. There's four lots that are clearly in the water flow area of drainage for the streets. They wanted to know if the county is open to condemning those lots. Now, the question is, I think the answer is we're always open for condemnation, but it has to be cause and all that. My question is, this seems like, what's our condemnation policy on like that?
Well, I can't really speak to our condemnation policy. I can speak to the condemnation law.
Okay.
The condemnation law, first of all, the statutes for opening up public roads.
Uh-huh.
I suppose you could use that statute and say you're opening up public roads even though the developer has built those. And you can require the people who are petitioning to have those roads in to pay the damages, including whatever needs to be condemned. So if they were willing to pay for the cost of condemning the property necessary to open up those roads, then you could go ahead and open up those roads, and it's for a public purpose, so you could condemn the property if somebody didn't want to give it. But we're talking about a lot of money if you're talking about all the properties that the water could do damage to.
Well, they're talking about four specific unbuildable lots, four lots that are not built and probably will never be built on unless the county takes the roads in, and then all of a sudden I bet you houses appear. So, okay. So that answers the questions so, I needed to answer.
I mean, you could do it if that's something you wanted to do.
The next step is, Jim, you're going to visit with Mr.
Sure.
Field.
I am. That was the next
and
one.
And they, the Advantage Benefit and Bob's, the Homeowners Association, when they hit a roadblock there, they didn't even try the rest of it.
Right. They didn't call anybody. They went to the guy who owns five houses and four lots, and he said, no way. And that's when they stopped the whole process. So, and we were very adamant that our position is still the same position.
Condemnation has to be for a public purpose. This sounds like
right.
a public purpose.
Right. And you would require them to pay the damages. You'd run into quite a complication throughout all the subdivisions we have on unbuildable lots. They would just want the county to condemn every unbuildable lot that they had and pay for it. And then that way they could have a nice...
Green space and all that.
So.
It's horrible policy, but no. I'm just speaking to the law.
All right, no. Moving on to the next minute. I got tons, guys.
Go.
As you remember, we've been getting billed from the underground for various departmental stuff being stored. We had given direction to the maintenance to go get our pallet that we've been charged for down at the underground. When we went and sent our people to go get it yesterday, they realized that we don't have a pallet there, and they had forgot to stop billing us. So they are refunding us $321.75. So those who are e-listening right now, please go check to make sure your pallets are there. But anyway, we don't have a pallet, and we actually are getting a refund for the county commission. So that's one less thing to store.
I got a call about us going to get it, and I said, sure, go get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the next thing. I had asked to pull two invoices on Monday. One was for MAPACJ, which is something with the William, something with Circuit Court had submitted for judge reimbursement for, I believe, training or something to that extent. In talking to Bob over the last multiple months, he had suggested for us to look at our policy to what we should reimburse and not reimburse to the judges because they're a state employee. I haven't done that yet. You know, obviously, the position I would be, if it's something we can stop paying, obviously I want to stop paying if the state's supposed to pay it.
Right.
I haven't had a chance to look at it, and it's going to take a little bit more thought and research to see what the other counties are doing and kind of do that. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm fine with paying it until we get the research done. But I'm going to make a list of, because we just got another one for the other judge, or I think submitted one also today or this week.
I don't see that, and I don't understand. I don't think it's our place to pay. We furnish the facility. I don't think we furnish the training, and I don't think we furnish the person. The state furnishes the training and furnishes the person. Now, that's just my understanding.
Well,
sounds reasonable.
We've been paying forever. We've never not paid every request.
It would be unfair at this point to the judges who went out and spent the money in reliance on us reimbursing. If we're going to draw a line in the sand, and I'm not saying we need to check with the Office of Court Administrators and see what counties normally do. If counties don't normally pay for the judges, then we probably shouldn't either. But we should pay these bills and just tell them in the future we're not going to pay them.
Right. Our pseudo policy is we have in the past, so our policy is we are going to in the future until we change the policy. And right. I'm not ready to, I don't have all the research, and it may take a little while to get all that, like cell phone reimbursements and all that. But the problem is we have in years past, and we've always done it. But that's why I pulled that one invoice out. My statement is, I'm probably going to go ahead and put it back in there. It's just going to take a while.
How much is it?
That one's $100, but they're going to. There's a lot of reimbursement that goes on.
If they're requiring training at another location where hotel bills and all that, and they want us to pay for it, that's an unfunded mandate.
We're used to those.
Yeah, that's really. We're pretty raw to those.
Is it budgeted?
Yeah,
it really is.
She's got money in there. So anyway,
I thank you for bringing that to our attention.
But I'm still going to work on it.
Good.
But I'm just going to throw it back in there because I can't change policy. I don't know what to change it to.
And no, I haven't.
It really is kind of unfair that we change policy or hold these bills until we figure it out.
We might visit with them, see if we can sit down with the judges.
After I get to all the data, then we'll probably understand all that.
Good.
All right. So I'm going to put that back through. This is probably not the time, but the other invoice I pulled out was the one for Aegis Engineering regarding the planning and zoning work that we had them do. We had a bill for $12,000, and I wasn't sure that I was expecting another bill until we got to another stage. So that's why I pulled it out. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Aegis. We've obviously been busy. I haven't talked to Aegis. I haven't talked to Eddie.
You don't know what the bill's for?
Well, it's part of the contract. I mean, we owe the money. No, it's because we have a final upstairs now. We have another one for $9,000. This came in this week. So this was for two invoices, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep on holding it, and I'm going to pull all the paperwork together and come back and have a work session on it.
What's the subject matter?
We agreed to a contract, and we were supposed to get deliverables from Aegis
to a certain level.
At a certain level, and I'm not sure if they have or have not, and that's what I got to review. But what I wanted to say is I'm going to hold it out another week until I get all the paperwork, and then us three, Eddie, and see what we've got. And then if we have to pull Aegis in, we'll have an Aegis conversation. But I'm just want to let you know, since I pulled it, I want to let you know where it sits with that. So
I really think that there's some question about that. Because I think we put a stop to any more work after a certain stage on that.
Well, we have a contracted amount. Okay. So, yeah, we've now got one this week for $9,200, and the $12,000 adds up to an $8,900 and a $3,300. So I haven't had a chance to look at all. This is what we got this week. And that is a summary of these two. That's the summary of these.
Gotcha.
So I'm just going to pull them for now until I get all the documents.
My question is, Jim, is for what is the billing? We have a contract. But in the contract that we had the discussion with them, that we wasn't going any farther.
To a certain point.
To a certain point.
And I don't know.
We don't know where that
is. I don't know where that's at. That's why I said I didn't want to pay it. And I haven't pulled the documents, but I'm gonna pull it out of next week's also.
Does this have to do with the land usage?
Mm-hmm. It's all the land use stuff. And so I just got to see where we are.
I think this is what you're asking, Eddie. Analysis of county data was 7,500 previous annual. Fields of verification land use, 56,650 previous annual. Preparation of final land use map, 5,500. This was preparation of draft zoning ordinance. 3,350 is what this one was.
Right.
I don't know whether that's happened already. That's what it was.
Yeah, we need to pull the contract.
I got
to
pull it and see what the last, because I haven't. We haven't seen a document in months from him. So.
Oh, we've seen the map.
No, we had that. We had that work session that had the swimming pool ordinance and all that goofy stuff and numbering the chickens and.
Well, no, but that was
part. That was the rough draft that went to P&Z.
That was something they got from somebody else.
It was a combination of four different counties. They combined it.
But they also came. There was a meeting over at
Plain
Zoning. I said on the last part of it.
Right.
But $3,350 for that, though.
Well, if we agreed to it, we agreed to it. I just got to make sure we got the deliverables that was says in the contract, and that's what I don't know.
Next.
We all got the same letter. I wanted to bring it up regarding the transfer station work that Aegis had. Basically, they agreed to a proposal of work to redo the transfer station. The scope of the work changed when DNR required doors. First, didn't require doors, then required doors, then didn't require doors, now we're back to doors. And they've incurred an additional $8,000 of services. Now, I wanted to make sure that I pointed this out to you guys, for you guys to give me input of what we want to do with the letter that they've submitted.
I'm not happy. Well, I'm not happy. I don't think that.
Well, they're not asking for the money, Danny. What they're saying is the scope has changed, not because of them, but in the contract.
But we're receiving billing for it.
No. It's in your box upstairs. It's just a letter saying this is where we stand with everything.
We do have a written contract regarding the transfer station.
Correct, but the problem is. We also have an hourly rate in the same contract. If it changes from the scope, they have the full authority to bill us in the contract.
And I need to look at the contract because
I
don't remember the contract.
Okay. Well, here's the proposal.
That's the case we've slipped there because they ought to have a firm limit.
Yep. Right. What we have is
not to exceed.
Right. We didn't do that. This was really a Frank deal because remember Frank got the scope of work and so is it all right to give this to Bob and Frank and let them work it out?
You can give it to them and let them give us recommendations.
That's
back
correct.
Because
we got the other issue. I'd like to invite Joe next sewer board meeting ahead of time. We maybe do a work session with him. Frank and everybody on.
You might even want to do an executive.
Who knows? We're gonna give Bob the work to get to research the contract.
See where we're obligated.
The scope of work that Frank worked up because it's transfer station, which is Frank's responsibility, and you to kind of see what our legal obligations are.
And you have the contract, or Frank?
Frank does. Here is my copy. You can have this. Is it time for you to go?
I'm going. How many more you got? I'll just call them.
It's fine.
All right.
No. What did we have other than that? We had two items that we were going to do.
Verizon cell phone contract.
Verizon
is the biggest thing we got to do. It's real fast. I got 5 minutes, right? Okay. We currently are paying $2,350 a month. Okay, that's what our current. Oh, here, I made copies for you guys. Sorry. Okay. We are currently paying $2,350. That is 20 Blackberries and 28 phone only and one air card for our attorney. That's an all-tell contract, a two-year contract, in which we have basically 16 more months on the contract, I think is what we have. Okay, even though they know we can't roll contract from year to year. They all know that, but it's a two-year commitment is what it is. They want us to go to a Verizon government contract, which is on the state bid, which will, if you look at all the things, it adds a few features. They would take, they would give us all new phones, and that would give us the ability to trade our phone, our current BlackBerries that we own. We could trade them in, and we have a retail price of $600 that we could get from the open market to trade these phone ins and just sell them off to the whatever. It's not part of Verizon. That makes sense. So we would get new BlackBerries. If you notice the quantity, it goes from 20 to 25. What the situation is IT, Gary Morgan has requested that all of his techs who are out of the office get BlackBerries because they can communicate better with emails and requests and service orders. He has budgeted that in his IT budget to pay for those five extra phones. So if that's the difference in the quantity of 20 to 25. Also, what we've added is a push-to-talk feature for 12 road and bridge people. A lot of times, we have a problem with cell talking on the same project. This would be cell phone to cell phone walkie-talkie use on those 12 phones. Are you guys following me here? If you notice, there's 16 voice only, which is the existing 16 users, and now we would change the other 12 that we currently have a voice, and we'd change them to voice and push to talk. So that would give the better communication for the road and bridge guys, because they would be not dialing, it would just basically be walkie-talkie service. Also, we would go ahead and add the voice card back for Bob, not voice card, the computer card for his laptop, and adding texting for 3 juvenile, because they do a lot of texting with their type of job. With all that in place, in a 1-year contract, which is month to month, it would go down to $2,222. So we would save $130 by changing to the new Verizon contract. It would give us new phones, the Curve 2. It would give us a new Samsung voice phone, which is Verizon. The reason that Samsung is because we already have Samsung, and that way they wouldn't have to buy any more card chargers or anything like that. So by doing this, we can save $130, and there's my presentation.
Nice presentation.
The reason we need to do it today. Tomorrow is the end of the month for Verizon, and the push-to-talk feature goes up to normal price, which would be from the 34, I think it goes to 50, like a BlackBerry fee. So,
it's mine.
No, I'm sorry, that's not the reason.
Is that me?
That's why.
I'm sorry, let me give you the correct reason. That wasn't the right reason. They gave us, if you remember when we had BlackBerries, we had to have licenses on each BlackBerry. It's called a CAL. And those CALs are free from Verizon through the end of the month. If we are going to add those 5 users for IT, which they've budgeted, they are giving us 5 licenses, which is $90 a piece license. So if we act today or tomorrow, we would save 90 times 50, $450. If we're not going to give them the 5 users, we don't have to act today, but we could save money as soon as we change it. And what they're saying is the challenges we have with the Alltel phones on the Verizon network is because of that, and by changing to Verizon phones on the Verizon network, we'll have better coverage in the county.
I agree with everything, except I don't know about the talk.
Push to talk?
Push to talk. We've got...
Can I return your phone?
Radios in every truck. We've got phones with every. So I'm just kind of.
Would you do everything else without the push to talk? I mean, It would save us additional $419. Oh no, wouldn't it? It would save us $5 times 12 a month.
$60 a month.
$60 a month is what it's costing us for push to talk.
Does this say? It says 1-year contract, can cancel at any time.
Yes.
Does that mean that if we accept this, sign up on this contract, that next month we can cancel it?
Yep. It's a better. I mean, it's a shorter commitment for us.
Do we have this contract for Bob to look at?
Nikki has it upstairs. Okay. I guess he came and visited yesterday when we were in Jeff City. I knew that he was coming to meet, but I haven't seen the contract.
I just got a thought that if Bob reviews it and that's genuine, that we can cancel in a month. Why would we have anything to lose?
Is there a cancellation fee is the question.
But I'm
they're
very,
saying no.
But I think it's very important. I mean, we just got this Aegis thing.
No, I agree that he reviews the contract.
And see if it's genuine, because that's a little bit unusual.
Right.
Right?
Oh, it's very, but it's a Verizon government contract versus a, this is.
Well, the same contract the state of Missouri has?
Yes.
I'll make a motion we approve your recommendation.
Pending
Bob's confirming that we can get out of this at any time.
Second.
Without.
Paying a penalty.
Penalty fee. You all right with that?
You said something about the $60 a month, though.
The push-to-talk feature.
Did you want to get rid of that in the recommendation?
I don't understand why we would have that.
You've got radios and trucks.
We've got radios and all the trucks. We've got... are those just for road and bridge?
Road and bridge and sewer. They could call. They could just walkie-talkie to each other from the cell phone instead of dialing a phone number.
I guess I agree with you there.
That's fine. Take it out.
I take excluding the push-to-talk feature.
Second. I'll mount up on my second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. You've got to go.
I'm with
you.
I'll call in and Ralph can continue. We got the, what was the 9:30? We got 9:30.
You have your,
I don't have any.
Postage machine. And Relay for Life.
We already did Relay.
Relay for Life did.
Oh, okay. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I hope I'm on the first part of the Relay.
Yeah, you are the organizer. You and I actually physically doing. You want to call Chuck?
I'll call.
Okay. They'll transfer it now. While he's dialing in, Gary, come up to a microphone. We're going to talk postage machine.
Okay.
No, come over here, Bob. You always have something to say. Sometimes it's wanted, sometimes it's not. But.
I'm gonna say something. I don't know, and I don't want to offend anybody or anything. But we've been talking about this postage machine for ever. Seems to me like it's been like over a year.
Hello.
Transfer Chuck in, please.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This is the need. Has the need got greater, and are we just trying to work out the kinks for an approval of a different kind of, because what I'm hearing from the people that use it the most, which was Sheila and James and them, that we have problems with the one we've got now.
The clerk is
wanting one, so we thought about shipping this one down there and buying another one that would be more efficient here. Is that the conversation?
We left it that we were going to look at hiring a person to be a postage person and manage all the postage, and they could justify not having a second postage machine. And after, with the downturn of the economy and looking at some of the dynamics, we can't do a person. So what we have to do now is decide what we're going to do next is the next step.
Right. That's what we talked about, the problem. You know, the economy, the way it is, probably not the best time to look at putting on an additional person for that. And I guess I'm not exactly sure what the meeting was called for, but it was probably that Brenda Neal had concern about the machine over there in the Judicial Center. And
is that right, Chuck?
Yeah. Brenda brought this too much time back that it was more than convenience for them, that they had a lot of work and to haul it over here and that type of thing is the way I remember it.
So what we need is what the discussion was, and the way I understand our general conversation was that we would take this machine, which is not adequate for the amount of usage that we have, over to the judicial facility and purchase a new machine for this building.
That's one scenario.
One scenario. The problem might be with that is that The problems we have had with the machine have all been fixable. They've been fairly minor fixes where the costs weren't that high to get it back in service. And to replace our machine, I didn't get a price, but I'm sure it would be around somewhere between $17,000 and $20,000. A machine that had the functionality of the one that we have now.
Okay.
I'm not sure that we would require that type of functionality on one at the Judicial Center. We may not have to have quite as robust a machine over there. At one time last year, I'd gotten a quote on a machine. We have a machine called DM1000 here, which is a Pitney Bowes pretty much top-of-the-line machine. And we could replace that, which would adequately serve their needs, with a DM535, which I think cost on that's around $10,000. And I believe Sheila, who is our Pitney Bowes representative, last time I spoke with her last fall, we could maybe get that machine for a couple thousand dollars less than that. They've had some economic issues as well. So I think the price of that machine has come down. So I'm not sure if we passed the machine over there, we'd still have the same maintenance issues.
Well, where's the usage coming from? Help me with the usage. Who's our big number one, two, three? Who's our five biggest users?
Our biggest user is the assessor.
Okay.
Because he has some bulk mailings that we use on the machine. And the last mailing was earlier this month. I think around 26,000 pieces in just two or three days.
Okay, so the assessor's number one.
Right.
Who's number two? That actually uses the machine.
We've got a lot of departments. Probably would be pretty heavy user. The clerk uses a lot for postcards and mailing out that information. The collector uses a lot for receipt printing or for receipt mailings.
You talking about the county clerk or the circuit clerk?
The collector. The county clerk uses it for...
Okay, I'm sorry. You said the assessor. Do you mean to say the collector was number two?
Yeah, I'd say probably number two. Maybe the clerk would be right in there with her because she has some bulk mailings of several thousand pieces that would, you know, count for more usage.
Then go on from there. The circuit clerk at that time?
I'm not sure that she'd be in the top 10 departments.
How do we get an accurate number? Is there a way to get an accurate number?
Well, you can get a dollar amount.
Then we could do some sort of simple
calculation. A piece
count
would be the best. We could probably figure out a way to get a piece count off of it.
The only reason I'm saying that is that if and I say this with much respect, but if our judicial facility is number 10th on the list, me having to invest another $17,000 to $20,000 for a new piece of equipment.
Right. Of course, yeah. You've got the sheriff's department, the prosecutor, as well as the circuit.
We can add all those up and see what they're, because maybe we don't need this big old machine. Maybe there's a lesser machine that's not.
Yeah, like I say, the entry level Pitney Bowes machine's probably around the $8,000 mark. Which would be brand new and
you have a phone now.
Each of those departments that you mentioned have a fund that I think they could probably buy this out of. If they need that machine over there, they probably should get together and buy that machine.
Chuck, I'm speaking and Danny chime in, but I'd like to know by a piece count, if you can get a report,
we can do that.
By department piece count of who's our users? And not just do 1 month because the assessor had a great and big month last month and all that, but maybe
the whole year. Right.
That would be a great that would give us a great indication of who our heavy users are, and then that would give us a pretty much a good indication of where the need lies.
Yeah, but the way I understood it, and I don't know, we might want to revisit with them, but the way I understood it, the collector said that they run into all kinds of complications because the numbers last month were tremendous, I guess, for the assessor and the collector and this and that. And this machine had some, as Gary said, things that were fixable, but it could not handle the numbers.
Right.
I mean, it sounded, even at this location where we're at, it sounded like a train coming down the track in there.
There was a lot of folding too, and that is a very noisy.
Well, I guess the other thing we could do is if the unit we've got is decent and it can handle the volume over there, we could ask them to pay for a certain percentage of the new one, and we could move this one over there.
That's where I would like to go, is a percentage of the payment from over there.
And get the right sized one here.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going. That's where I was going. Yeah, what do you think about that, Chuck?
Well, is, Gary, I guess I need your input, is the machine we have is not too old, as I'm thinking.
I'm thinking 4 or 5 years old, 5 years old maybe.
So to the point that it's not enough of a machine, so to speak, is that, do you agree with that? I mean,
well, it's the top of the line for Pitney Bowes. It's their high-end machine.
For volume, too?
For volume, right.
So there's not a bigger one?
We went and looked at a company in Springfield, the highest mailing national insurance in Springfield, and they have the same machine. They just have several of them because it was a top-of-the-line machine.
Gotcha. But no, we bought this machine since I've been here, and
yes,
this is 5 years, so I thought we picked this machine up the second or third year that I was in office. And so if we're having a few problems with it, wouldn't it be better off to have it over there where it wasn't quite so
heavily used
and replace it with a new one here, let them pay a percentage?
That'd be certainly a viable option.
Danny, what, I'm sorry I didn't follow you on. Who pays the percentage?
They have accounts. So the circuit clerk, the judges, the sheriff's department, anybody that would use it over in that area has special accounts. And they could pay, each one of those could pay a percentage on a new machine. This machine that's over here, that is, like I said, has been put in, I don't know the dates, but I don't think it's over 2 or 3 years old. And if it is, then we go ahead and proceed with buying a new machine here and moving this machine over there.
So to say it again, you're talking about asking the circuit clerk and the prosecutor and the sheriff to take money out of some of their accounts.
Special accounts. And I'm not asking them for them to do it all. I'm just saying they can take it out percentage-wise. We're going to come up with accounts so we know more about who's using what, and we can kind of figure out who needs to pay what and buy a new machine.
But the first thing I'd like to do is have Gary do a piece count and kind of come back to us and tell us what he finds out. And just double check to see if that this unit we've got, there's no improvements on the newer models that can help us.
I'm sure there are revisions. we did have a $600 repair bill in early January on this machine. So
yikes.
We had another one last fall.
It was mentioned the other day that we decided not to go with the maintenance contract because it was so expensive.
Right.
Has it played out good on that? I mean, that's $600.
Yeah, that maintenance contract was right at $2,600 a year. And last year we had them called out twice at a cost of around $1,000.
So we made out all right on that.
Yeah, good.
And with the less usage, in our top 10 users, 4 of the top 10 users are in the other facility over there in the top. What I'm saying is they lay within 5 to 10, then it would make common sense to move this machine over there and buy a new machine that would take more, I'm not going to use the word abuse, but I'm going to use the word usage in this facility.
Right.
I can also get you the estimate cost on what a new machine would be here.
Right.
Sure.
If you get all that to us, Gary, then we can make an educated decision on what we want to do there then.
Sure. We can do that quickly.
Sounds great. Okay. Gary, we'll leave it to you to get the research, and then you reschedule the meeting.
All right, we'll do. Thank you.
Okay.
Chuck, that's all we had listed. Do you have anything administrative?
You still there?
Yeah, I said that's all we had listed, and that's all my administrative. Is there anything else you would like to discuss?
I'm good for now. You got your whole list, you say?
I got my whole list through.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's it.
All right.
Great stuff.
Thanks. Right. Bye.